Jesus within me, bless his holy name. Done great things, he has done great things. He has done great things, bless his holy name. Praise God. You know what? You know, I was just thinking as we were talking about that, you know, Israel over the centuries and in ancient times, they had a lot of enemies. And I imagine that the enemies back then did as bad of atrocity things as what they're doing today. But you know, the one thing, and you know, even as they were talking about blessing the Lord with your soul, the one thing that they did do, and Israel, I don't know if they're doing this today, and maybe they need to be doing this, they sent the praisers out first. And when they sent the praisers out, the enemies began to fight amongst themselves, and they began to kill themselves off, because the battle is the Lord's, and it's not our battle. But as long as we hold on to it and make it our battle, you know what? We're going to lose.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, it's one of those situations to where we just need to keep in mind who our God is and what he is and what he does. You know, I love when in the Old Testament, I'm not going to preach on this, but I might preach on it. Who knows? In the Old Testament, when the Lord appeared to Gideon, and the enemies of the land were stealing all the fruit of the land. And, you know, they were kind of in a bad shape over there. And Gideon was down in the wine press thrashing wheat. And you know what? God gets you in the wine press sometimes, and that's not a fun place to be. Because the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and spoke to him and said, "Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." And you know, sometimes we need to remember what God says about us and not what our situations and circumstances say about us. And even over in Israel, I don't care how many rockets they got, how many guns they got, how many soldiers they got, or anything else, if they'll trust in the Lord, he will deliver them. And, you know, so many times, I think a lot of times we think that just because somebody's Jewish or something, that means that they're serving the Lord. Well, it's not necessarily the truth. And I tell you what, hopefully the Christian people over there and the people that know the Lord are seeking the face of the Lord and praising him and lifting him up. Because I tell you what, when the battle becomes his, you win. But as long as it's yours, you lose. Praise God. Well, that's a little mini sermon for you there, okay? Praise the Lord. I got a joke for you. Maybe we'll lighten up the... a Southern Baptist minister decided that a visible demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. So he took four worms and he placed them in four separate jars. The first worm he put in a jar of alcohol. The second worm he put in a jar of cigarette smoke. The third worm he put in a jar of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put in a jar of good, clean soil. At conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in the alcohol was dead. The second worm in the cigarette smoke was dead. The third worm in the chocolate syrup was dead. And the fourth worm in good clean soil was alive. So the minister asked the congregation, "What can you learn from this demonstration?" A little old woman in the back quickly raised her hand and said, "As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms." That isn't what the preacher was trying to get across. But you know what? That's a funny thing. You know, I've preached sermons before, and I've preached sermons that I thought had a really good message, And at the end, I'd have somebody come up and say something to me that had absolutely nothing to do with the sermon. Boy, that's exactly what I thought, Oscar. I thought, buddy, you didn't hear a word I said, you know. But that's the way that minister was. Praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is called The Hem of His Garment. And I'm going to read back over a little bit of a scripture that's been shared in the last couple of weeks. But I'm going to look at it from an entirely different perspective here today. You know, years ago, we used to go down to the City Gospel Mission. And we went down there once a month, every month. And we would feed the people on the street as they'd come into the City Gospel Mission. And we'd sing. And a lot of times, it was sort of like some of what we did last night. Some of it was just a joyful noise, especially for me. And we'd sing and we'd minister to them. And the Lord would touch a lot of lives down there, you know. And we did that for years and years and years. But when we moved out here, it began to be harder to get down there because you had to go down there during rush hour traffic, and we just couldn't hardly make it because the traffic gets so heavy on 75 and everything. So eventually we quit going. But we'd went for about 30 years down there. And anyway, we were on our way home, and me and Margaret, and I'm just going to read this to you because I had written it all down. It's brothers and sisters, a few years ago, my wife and I were on our way home from the City Gospel Mission, and Sister Lois Pike was in the car with us. Now, it's been a lot of years since Lois was here. Sister Lois Pike, she was in the car with us. And as we was driving around, Lois said to me, she said, "Brother Oscar," she says, "has the Lord ever dealt with you about the hem of his garment?" And you know, I like when people ask me questions, especially when I don't know the answer, you know. Because when they ask me questions and I don't know the answer, I go and ask him who does have the answer. And before I even got her out of the car, the Lord already started dealing with me. I said, "No, he hasn't dealt with me about that." And the Lord started dealing with me about that. And I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read this because there's a lot of different ins and outs of this, so I can't just tell you. But I'm going to actually read it to you, what I've got written down here. It says, "And in the course of our conversation, she asked me if the Holy Spirit had ever dealt with me about the hem of his garment, in reference to the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, Matthew 9, 20 and 22. And before I even got home, the Lord began to deal with my heart. Verse 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Verse 21, "For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole." End of quote. You know, in thinking about this, the first thing that came to me was that, first of all, the hem of his garment would have been down toward the ground because they wore very long robes back in those days. So the first thing that came to me that she had to be willing to humble herself enough to reach down by his feet and actually touch the hem of his garment. And that also meant that she had to bend her knee. So there took some humbling there. And, you know, she had had an issue of blood for 12 years. And you know, that's a long time. And, you know, there's a scripture that says the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, so you want to know where your life is? Scripture tells you it's in your blood. Okay? That's why if you cut somebody and they bleed enough and you don't get it stopped, guess what? You're going to die. You know, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why when Jesus hung on Calvary, that he had to pour out his life's blood to be a propitiation for our sins, to cleanse us of all sin. And anyway, we'll go ahead and we'll read a little farther. It says, and I think about this, the first thing that came to me was that we had to be willing to humble ourselves enough to bend down and to reach to his feet. Question, are we willing to spend time at the feet of Jesus? You know, I want to tell you, there was a time when Mary and Martha were around Jesus, and Martha was up, she was cooking, and she was doing all this stuff, and she was serving, and she was doing a lot of things. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha got a little bit perturbed, and she said, "Master, don't you care that she's sitting at your feet and I'm up doing all this work and all this kind of stuff?" And we've all been there before, ain't we? Where somebody's sitting back and we're doing everything. Clyde, a lot of times when I try to do anything around here, he won't hardly let me do nothing. You know, they'll say, "Well, Brother Eddie didn't used to do that." And I said, "Well, Clyde, I'm not Brother Eddie. I can do things. I don't care to do stuff." But he'd always tell me, "You need to sit back and not have to do all this stuff." Well, you know, but anyway, Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha," she says, "you're worried about a lot of things." She says, "But Mary's chose the better part. She's at my feet." And you know, one time years ago, I'm just going to share this with you too. One time years ago, the Lord was dealing with me about washing feet. And, you know, when he was dealing with me about washing feet, he began to deal with me about Jesus, you know, after he had finished the Last Supper, that they call the Last Supper, you know, he got up and he went aside and he laid aside his garment, it said. And it says he took a towel. And the word for towel there, that's not a very good translation. He took a piece of linen and he wrapped himself in the linen. And he bent down and he told him, "Come over here, I'm going to wash your feet." There was 12 guys there, so that's 24 sets of feet. And back in that day, they walked out in the streets where animals used the bathroom. People would throw their human waste out into the street and everything else. And you tended to walk through that as you walked down the streets. That was why there was a custom that any time that you went into somebody's house, the first thing they were supposed to do was offer you water to wash your feet. And partially that was so you didn't have stinky feet and you didn't track all that stuff into their house. But that was the custom. But Jesus took and he wrapped himself in a linen garment. And in the Old Testament, when the high priest went in to offer the sacrifice, he was to wear linen breeches, linen bonnet. He wore everything of linen, you know. And the reason that he wore linen, was called the no-sweat garment. And up until recently, in the summertime, in hot climates, men would wear linen suits because they didn't make you sweat. And they're sort of like some of these shirts that we wear today, which are wicking shirts. You know, when you sweat in them, they dry real fast, and it actually pulls the heat away from your body, you know. But anyway, Jesus wrapped himself in that linen garment and he began to wash their feet. And he got all through all 11 of them and he got down to Peter. And when he got down to Peter, Peter said, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And the reason that he said that was because he saw who had been revealed to him, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Christ. He saw him covered with all the filth of their walk. And I think it was breaking his heart to even see that. And he said, "You'll never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And then Peter, being exuberant, says, "Well, Lord, not my feet, wash my hands, my head, and everything else too." You know, Peter said, "No, if I wash your feet, that's all that needs to be done." And basically what he was saying is, "I'm going to clean your walk up." And he said, "Your walk's going to be completely different when I take it upon me." You know, so I just want you to know that even in that little story there, there was a type of the cleansing power of God. He was acting in a way that he was taking the dirt off of them onto himself, you know. So I'm going to read you a little more here, and he says, "And the next thought was that I realized that Jesus was a high priest after the order or the rank of Melchizedek." And Hebrews 7:17 talks about that. God shows us many things in the Old Testament by types and shadows in understanding and importance of the hem of Jesus' garment. I believe we must look at the hem of the high priest's garment in the Old Testament. Okay. Exodus 28:33 through 35. This is a quote. Verse 33. And beneath the hem of it thereof thou shalt have a pomegranate of blue and of purple and of scarlet, and that's red, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. So there was a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, all the way around the hem of the high priest's garment in the Old Testament. Okay? And it says this, it says in verse 34, it says, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. Verse 35, and it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place, when he went into the holy of holies, before the Lord, that when he come out, that he dies not. And I want you to know that Jesus went in, and when he came back out, death had no hold on him anymore. When he was put in the tomb, you know, he went into, it tells us that he went down into hell, and he preached to the souls that had been held captive there. And I got news for you, when Jesus preached to them down there, they were set free. They were set free. Because when Jesus preaches to you, buddy, it touches you. It touches you in a special way. And then the next thing, the first thing that I would like to deal with is the pomegranates. You know, a pomegranate is a very fruity vegetable. Well, not vegetable. It's actually a fruit. Anybody, I don't know if they had pomegranates over in Africa or not. Did you guys have pomegranates over there? Pomegranate is kind of a fruit about that big around and maybe about that tall, and it's kind of red, it's reddish in color, and if you cut it in half, inside it's red and it's juicy, but it's just loaded with seeds. It's got tons of seeds in it, and actually as you eat it, you have to kind of either eat the seeds or spit out the seeds, one of the two, as you're eating it, because there's a ton of seeds in it. And anyway, he talked about, he said, the first thing I will deal with is, here I said it, pomegranate in the natural. They are very seedy fruit, which speaks of the ability to reproduce life. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But he also said, but if it does, it shall bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. But he actually said 100, 60, and 30 in reverse amount. And by touching the hem of his garment, we touch the ability to reproduce life, the very life of God. The color of the pomegranate is very important. When I think of the pomegranates, they were different colors. They were round. There was a red one, a blue one, and a purple one. It says when I think of the blue pomegranate first, when you look outside and you look up in the sky, what do you see? You see blue sky. I don't care where you're at, there's blue sky. There's blue sky over us right now. If you're down in another part of the world and it's daytime, there's blue sky over you too, no matter where you're at. So it's everywhere, you know. So that speaks of the presence of God is everywhere. His abundant life-giving seed is everywhere. And the next color, it said the vastness of the sky, and the next color was purple. Purple is a royal color, and it speaks of the royalty of God. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords, okay? And the next color was red. Red and blue make up purple. So when you think of the vastness of God and you also think of the red, the blood where the life is, that becomes a royal thing. And it says, we must understand that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He reigns supreme, which means he is in control. That was just said by people out there in the audience before. The next color is red, scarlet. First thing I think of is blood, and it speaks of Levitic life. Leviticus 17:11, quote, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar for an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. End of quote. To understand the symbolism in the hem of the high priest's garment, we must see the vastness of God's love, his willingness to pour out his life. And that's why he sent Jesus, the atonement for our sins. Okay? And it says, I would like you to notice that the woman, that she had the issue of blood for 12 years. 12 is a very significant number. The number 12 is the number for governmental perfection. Now, I think that what he was showing in type and shadow here, I think he was showing the church. Because the church is the woman, she's the bride of Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. So that meant that her life was being poured out. Her life was being poured out for 12 years. And I tell you what, the church spends a lot of time trying to pour out their life in doing good deeds, telling people you got to do this, you got to witness, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do something else. But I'm going to tell you what, that never gets the job done. As long as it's your life that you're pouring out. And what usually happens, if you pour out so much of your life, after a while you get weary. And a lot of times you quit. And we wonder why some people quit going to church a lot of times. They quit going to church because they've been told so many times that they got to do this, they got to do that, they got to do something else. And they just get worn out with that. And you can totally understand that. But the number 12 is the number for governmental perfection. And I got news for you. When the church gets willing to bow down and touch the hem of his garment and to humble themselves, really humble themselves, then they're going to be made whole. And that wholeness will be the wholeness of God. It will be the maturity of God. It will be literally, it will be even the sons of God coming forth. Praise God. And it says here, I'm going to read the rest of it to you. It says, the Old Testament, when a woman had the issue of blood, she was considered unclean. And I got news for you. When you're trying to do stuff for Jesus, he don't look at it as a great thing. It's you trying to do something for Jesus. You can do nothing for him. What you can do is do what he bids you do. And that's where the church makes a mistake. Because they're always trying to do something for Jesus. You don't need to do anything for Jesus. You need to flow with him and do what he bids you do. And when we start doing that, we're going to find that instead of making people mad and getting them upset and everything else, and them calling you a heretic and everything else, you're going to find that when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and speak to those he has you speak to and minister to those he has you minister to, that it's going to bring forth life. It's not going to wear the person out. And it says, naturally speaking, this was a sign that she had not conceived. I got news for you. When you're constantly working, constantly trying to do something, you haven't conceived yet of that Christ within you like you need to conceive of it. You know. In other words, there was no life in her. I hesitate to say that a lot of religious folks seem to be like this woman. They are pouring out their life instead of being covered by his life. My prayer is that we may all come to a place where we humble ourselves to touch the hem of his garment, that we might be made whole. The woman did this after 12 years. The number 12 has the meaning of perfect government or governmental perfection. Now we must deal with the golden bells, which were between the pomegranates. When I think of bells, the first thing that comes to mind is a certain sound. We use bells to tell us that someone's at our door of our houses. They let us know that there's someone on the phone. There's a fire drill in schools where they ring the bells. Bells play a very important role in our society as warning and as a proclamation, such even as wedding bells. You know, they ring wedding bells when you get married sometimes. In the case of the high priest, they were to sound when he walked into the Holy of Holies to show that he was still alive. The word for bell in the Old Testament is the word paramon, which means a bell is struck. And the root word of that, but it comes from a word that means paramath, which also has the meaning of hundredfold. So when she reached down and got a hold of his garment in type and shadow, she was touching the hundredfold realm. She was touching the realm of life. She was touching the realm of the vastness of God. She was touching all of the royalty of God. She was touching all of those things. And you know what? She couldn't be made nothing but whole when that happened. Praise God. Now, let's go on a little bit further. And it says, the hundredfold realm, which is dealt with in Matthew 13:23, quote, but he that receiveth seed into good ground, that's that seedy fruit, into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, this is a direct quote from scriptures. Why did he mention 100-fold first? Because that's his desire for you. He wants you to come into the 100-fold realm. He wants you to come into all that he is. He wants you to see him as he is, that you might be just like him. Praise. But there's some in the 60-fold realm. That's a good realm. It's a wonderful realm. Or some in the 30-fold realm. That's a good realm. That's a wonderful realm. I don't care what realm people are walking in. You need to rejoice that they're in some realm with God. Not point a finger of, well, I'm better than you because I know more than you do, or any of that kind of stuff. That stuff needs to get thrown in the garbage. But anyway, it goes on and it says, then the 30-fold must be waiting us to teach us up for the 100-fold realm. It says, let's first deal with the 30-fold realm, which speaks of salvation, a wonderful realm. The 60-fold realm speaks of baptism of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of it into your life. Wonderful, wonderful realm. The 100-fold realm speaks of coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ unto a perfect man. Ephesians 4:13 says this, when we enter this realm, we will only want to do that which pleases the Father, trading our life that you might receive the fullness of his. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful realm. And one last thing I've got written down here. The bells were golden, and gold speaks of the incorruptible nature of God. What about this? Lives that ring with the harmony and the beauty of God. Quote, Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So I want you to know there's deeper realms in each one of these things that happen. They're all true and they're all beautiful. But I want you to know he wants us to enter into that hundredfold realm. He wants us to get a hold of the hem of his garment. Praise God. The Lord gave me a poem back there when he gave me this word, and I'll read the poem to you. It says, the hem of his garment, there's abundant life. There's freedom from struggle and freedom from strife. The refreshing of his spirit, the fruit of his love. As you humble your heart, you will rise above. The problems and heartaches won't matter as much as you realize you've been set free from their grasp and their clutch. You will enter new realms of his glory and light, where you will see with new clarity and function with new might. Where the hundredfold realm will be your call as you abide in his presence and give him your all. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you. If anybody'd like a copy of this, you tell me and I'll print you a copy of this. But it's very good. I mean, Lord, when he revealed this to me, it was years ago he gave this to me. Like I say, we were coming back from the mission. And Lois asked me that question about, has the Lord ever dealt with you about the hem of his garment? And I had to tell her, no, he hasn't. You know, and I'm going to tell you what. When God puts you in a situation where he asks you, do you know this? Do you know this thing? Be honest. Tell him, no, I don't know, Lord. Will you show me? And I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes he'll show you. Because he gave me all of this. He started giving it to me on the way home after I told her, no, he's never dealt with me about the hem of his garment. But he started dealing with me right away. And boy, when I got home, I couldn't wait to get into the Word and start studying into it and looking things up and stuff. And he gave me all of this, you know, to share. And I just want you to know that, yes, it's a wonderful, all of the sermons about the woman, you know, touching the hem of his garment is a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a real deep truth there too. And that real deep truth is that he wants to bring you into the hundredfold realm. And he wants you to quit having the issue of your blood, your life, being poured out. He wants his life to be poured out of you, not on you and out of you. Because your life will just wear you out. And that's why a lot of ministers get wore down. They quit because they just can't do it anymore, because they keep pouring out their life. And people pull on them to cause them to pour out their life, you know. And I tell you what, and I know, having done this for a lot of years, that no matter what you say, somebody gets mad at you, you know, or somebody acts like they're upset with you or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to quit worrying about our life and start pouring out his life. His life is the only one that can change people. Yours can't, his can. You know, praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And Father, I ask you to just let this word just minister to people and let them realize that even in this little story of the woman touching the hem of his garment, there's tremendous truths there. And the truth is that she had that issue of blood for 12 years, and that was making her unclean. And she was unclean. Why was she unclean? You know, why did they say a woman was unclean when she had an issue of blood? You know why? That meant she didn't have a baby inside of her. That's exactly what it meant. There was no baby there. But I tell you what, we need to ask the Lord to help us to touch the hem of his garment, spend the time at his feet. And when we do that, we'll find out that when we minister life to people, it will be life from the hem of his garment. It won't be life, our life being poured out. It'll be his life being poured out. I thank you for your words, their spirit and life. I ask you to bless your people. And I ask you, Father, that anyone that hears this message on the internet, that it would just break right through and give them a new revelation of what you want them to do and what you called them to do, that they might enter into that hundredfold realm, Father. And that hundredfold realm is nothing less than moving into the order of Melchizedek, the same order that Jesus said had. Without father, without mother, without a beginning of days, without ending of days, an order of blessing, a blessing that will do nothing but bless and not curse not. We're told to do that, bless and curse not. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. And I pray for the Middle East right now. I pray that your spirit would begin to hover on people's lives over there, and that it would touch people's lives. I know it's an awful thing that's happening over there, but I know that you're mindful of it all. And I know that, Lord, you're in control of it all. And I just give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to bring out of it, because you always bring life out of death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you.